Hello, everyone. I'm Frosty the Snowman as Amos in Chicago.
And I'm Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as SpongeBob in SpongeBob the Musical.
And this podcast won't run a week, your bi-weekly musical theater podcast where we talk about musicals. And we're back.
We're back.
And we're back. Another episode.
We're back from our commercial break.
We are back from our commercial break. That commercial break was us going to our day jobs.
And not our sponsors, unfortunately.
No, although if someone would like to sponsor us, I wouldn't say no.
Please GWAT.
TodayTix, Broadway.com, Playbill.
Theater.
How the hell are you?
I'm good. You know, nothing crazy. Yeah. Just... my parents were in for the weekend, and they saw my show, and that was nice. We celebrated my mom's birthday. You were there for that.
I was there for that. Yes. The show was so much fun. Great. Everyone should go see it. You're going to have a great time. Get a little cocktail with a fun commemorative cup. Well, the one size that they have.
Yeah.
Oh, but I bet it's super strong.
You'll want the color-changing mug.
Oh, you gotta get a color changing cup. You gotta. But it's so much fun, and all three of you guys are just doing such a great job. So
Danke. We have fun. We have fun.
Good. That's all that matters.
You're not in your closet.
I'm not. I got home from work and it was so hot in my apartment. Because we'd left all of the heaters, like, open and my little, like, space heater on. Because it was so cold today. And it was sweltering. And I was like, I can't sit in that closet. It's going to be too hot. I'm going to be miserable. And I want to be comfy, cozy.
Oh, comfy, cozy.
Comfy, cozy. So I'm sitting at my desk today.
Great.
But, yeah. So
how the hell are you?
How the hell am I? I'm doing all right. I'm busy working, getting ready for the holidays. I gotta buy Christmas presents.
Ugh, tell me about it.
I am behind, and normally I'm so good and I'm so far ahead of the game that, like, this isn't really a problem, but I'm very behind, and now there are a bunch of presents for me under the tree, but none from me under the tree.
Work.
So I'm working on that, getting ready for my birthday. I think this comes out like right before my birthday. Oh, I'm gonna be another year older, another year wiser. So that's pretty much it. You know, the holidays, I really wanted to take like an intentional break from intimacy directing during this time, and that's what I've been doing, and it's been really, really great.
I'm glad.
So you know, that's what's been going on with me. But I'm actually really excited to talk about this show.
Me too.
I really enjoyed the cast recording more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I have thoughts.
Like, okay, so we'll just hop right in. Yeah. So this episode, we are talking about A Christmas Carol, and not just
Merry Christmas.
Merry A Christmas Carol, not just any Christmas Carol. We're talking about the one with music by Alan Menken and lyrics by Lynn Ahrens. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I just realized I've never heard that name said out loud.
Oh.
So, Lynn.
Call in.
Let me know. And the special thing about this version, because I'm sure as anyone who's listening to this knows, a million different productions of A Christmas Carol are done every single December across the world. And they're all different. They all have their own, like, different songs. But what's cool about this one is it played annually at Madison Square Garden from 1994 to 2003. So for, like, almost 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. It came back every December. And I think that's, like, super cool. We don't really do anything like that anymore.
No, other than the, like, Rockettes.
Yeah, the Rockettes are the one, like, annual thing. But I'm sure, you know, for that 10 years, it was like, oh, you go see the Rockettes and you go see A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. So the original 1994 production was directed by Mike Ockrent with choreography by the one, the only, Miss Susan Stroman.
I was going to make a joke and say Susan Stroman. Is it actually Susan Stroman?
It is actually Susan Stroman.
That makes sense.
Love her.
Love her.
Love this for her. And, like, that's, like, really the big names in terms of, like, the production team that were associated with that original production. I am assuming that things were tweaked and they brought different people in to, like, zhuzh the show from year to year, but it basically stayed the same. There was a 2004 television film production produced by the Hallmark Channel.
I am surprised I've never seen that.
I have seen it, and the only reason I remember that I've seen it, because again, I've seen so many different versions of this story, is because Jesse L. Martin plays Christmas Present, and I vividly remember seeing him play Christmas Present.
Jesse L. Martin, who is that?
The original Collins in Rent.
Oh,
that live in my house.
God, he's so good.
So fucking good. But it's a really, like, I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'm like, maybe I need to revisit that, because Kelsey Grammer is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh.
Jason Alexander is Jacob Marley. Jane Krakowski is Christmas Past. Like, Jennifer Love Hewitt is in this. Like, it's stacked.
Stacked.
Which is super duper fun. And then let me pull up my notes. Where did they go? There they are. Just some notable castings of the MSG production that happened every year that I wanted to point out. 1 year, Terrence Mann played Ebenezer Scrooge. And then in, I think it was 2001, Tim Curry played Ebenezer Scrooge, which I would give my left tit to see.
Yeah.
I think that that is genius casting.
Yeah.
genius.
So good.
Ghost of Christmas Past, 1 year, Dee Dee Khan played that role. You might know her, listeners, as Frenchie from the movie Grease.
Yeah. Also, the original Toby from Sweeney
the
Todd.
The original Toby. And I could not, for the life of me, place that man's voice. But I was like, I know this. I intimately know this voice.
Right? It's so, like, it is so familiar.
It's so familiar. But I was like, where do I know it from? And I was going through, like, all these different things. And I was like, no, it's not that. It's not that. It's not that. And then I can't remember what he said, but he said, like, one thing. And then I was like, oh, my God, Toby.
Yeah. This is also a very Toby role.
Such a Toby role.
Yeah.
This whole show, honestly, is, I mean, it's Charles Dickens. It's based off the Charles Dickens story, but it gives, like, a little orphan boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it gives Oliver. It gives, you know, Toby from Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
One of the years, Ben Vereen played Ghost of Christmas Present. 1 year, Nick Jonas played Ebenezer Scrooge at age 8. Gotta shout that out. And then I think the very first year, Mr. Christopher Sieber played young Jacob Marley. So, getting his start at MSG, baby.
Yeah.
I think shows like this are so interesting when they come back year after year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting to see whose careers, like, who for this was, like, an early career thing versus who is a, like, entrance applause thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, Ben Vereen, entrance applause, of course. Christopher Sieber, early career, I think.
Yeah.
And I think things like that are so fun. Great. So I'm going to go into this production, I want to try to be as specific to this production as I can, because everyone knows a Christmas Carol, and if you don't, I've got some movies that I can point you in.
There
but
has
it's
been
like a
so many adaptations.
It's like a classic. I don't even remember learning what A Christmas Carol was. I feel like I was born with this knowledge, yeah. You know? Great. So, the musical opens at the Royal Exchange. And also, there's a really funny moment in the cast recording where, like, singing is happening, and then this, like, gravedigger is like, that'll be 5 shillings. And this man is like, oh, but I that's so expensive, but I guess I should do it right. And he's like, yeah, give me the money. And he's like, well, I have to go to the Royal Exchange and try to get Scrooge to, like, be a kind person. And then, like, the gravedigger laughs at this man, like, laughs in his face. And he's like, appeal to his better nature. Laughs in his face. He goes and, you know, presumably does gravedigger stuff. And the man.
I was like, come on, keep getting to it. Go.
Yeah. So then we're at the exchange, and it's getting ready to close. And a lot of people are wishing everybody, like, Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And then the man, Mr. Smythe is his name, and his daughter come in, and they're hoping that he'll give them just a little more time on the mortgage, because tomorrow is Christmas, and we just had to pay 5 whole shillings to bury my wife. Could I please get an extension on the mortgage?
No.
And Scrooge is like, bah, humbug. Hell no, bitch. I'm not giving you shit.
If someone said bah humbug to me when I'd asked, like, a life-altering request, and then they said bah humbug, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna ask you one more time.
Yeah, I think you might have had a stroke. Let me ask this again.
Yeah, surely that's not the response you just gave me.
Surely. And when he is asked for charity, like, please, Mr. Scrooge, give us some charity for the poor. He's like, are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Send the poor there. Send them away.
Okay.
Just like, and here's the thing. Ebenezer Scrooge at the beginning?
Yeah.
An absolute raging sociopath.
Yes.
Like, the worst of the worst of the worst. I mean, we get to meet...
He had us in the beginning with the, like, no, I'm not going to, like, give you money just because it's Christmas. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But then when he started getting into all the other stuff, the political stuff.
Send the poors to prison.
Oh, you went too far. Scrooge, as your PR, shut your mouth.
Okay? Oh, my God. Imagine being PR for Ebenezer Scrooge. The worst job in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
We meet Bob Cratchit, who is Mr. Scrooge's assistant, and he tells Scrooge about his sickly young son, Tiny Tim, and Scrooge is like, whatever, I don't care, I guess you can have Christmas off, whatever, poor.
You can have Christmas off, poor.
I feel like he would use, like, that would be, like, a slur for him that he would just throw at people.
Yes.
You nasty little poor. Scrooge heads home, and he encounters a bunch of people, and he's super rude to all of them. He passes the funeral of the wife of the man that he was like, tough shit about that mortgage. Deal with it. And he gets a little chill. He's like, ooh, death. We travel to the Cratchits' home, where Bob and his son, Tiny Tim, set off to buy the makings of their meager Christmas feast. And Bob tells his son that you mean more to me than anything. Meanwhile, Scrooge meets his nephew, Fred, who invites him for Christmas dinner. Scrooge doesn't know shit about Fred's life. He's never met his wife. He doesn't go over. And Fred really takes this in stride. Like, Fred's like, Uncle Scrooge, like, come to my house for Christmas. Like, we're going to have good food, good music, good wine. It'll be a great time. And Scrooge goes, no, you stupid idiot. And Fred's like, oh, Scrooge, it's, you know, I love you so much. Just if you want to join us, you're more than welcome to. It's very much, oh, God, what is his name from Parks and Rec?
From Parks and Rec? Oh, Rob Lowe's character?
Yes, Rob Lowe's character from Parks and Rec.
What is his name? Bob, not Bob Treger.
All I can remember is he goes, Ann Perkins.
Yep, yep.
But everyone listening, you know who I'm talking about. That character, that is Fred. That is Fred.
Yes.
Stop.
Pooping.
Stop pooping. Fred assures Scrooge that he doesn't want anything from him, but Scrooge sends him on his way. Along his path home, like on his way actually home, he passes a Christmas pantomime, like a sandwich board that is like advertising a Christmas pantomime, like a little show, a lamplighter, and an old blind woman, all of whom, these people that he meets, are the people, the actors who play the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Future.
Mm-hmm.
So the ghosts, they're there. They're there from the beginning, and they're keeping an eye on Mr.
They're
Scrooge.
They're checking him out.
They're checking him twice, as Mr. Nicholas might say.
Checking that naughty and nice.
It is, these ghosts are giving Dolly Parton and Christmas on the Square. That's what I'm imagining.
I can't wait to watch that with you this year.
God, it's the best. It's the best movie. We'll do Christmas on the Square next year. That's okay. Going on the list for next year. Because we got to talk about it on the pod. It's so fucking dumb and good and wonderful. He refuses to buy tickets to the show. He doesn't help the lamplighter. And he's like, fuck you, old poor blind woman. I'm not giving you money. Eat rocks. He comes home and he has like a vision of his deceased business partner, Jacob Marley. Later, the ghost of Jacob Marley appears and sings, honestly, maybe my favorite song of the whole show, Link by Link. I'm like, yeah. You could throw some ass to this song. You know?
And that's the making of a good musical theater song.
That's like, you want to, if you can throw ass to the song, it doesn't matter if like technically, rhythmically, you could throw ass to it.
Mm-mm.
If emotionally you can throw ass to it, it's a good
song.
Then
you're good. Yeah.
Exactly. Marley is like, you think I'm bad, bitch. Guess what's waiting for you? Your chain's gonna be like three times as long as mine is if you don't get your act together. And you're going to be visited by the Ghost of Christmas Past, the Ghost of Christmas Present, and the Ghost of Christmas Future. Bye. And Scrooge, this cast recording is really worth listening to. There's a lot of really funny little one-liners.
It's really well written.
It's very well written. And it, some cast recordings, you can enjoy the music, but you're not really getting the full story. With this, you do get the full story from the music, which is great. So the clock chimes 1 a.m. Scrooge is awakened by the Ghost of Christmas Past, the lamplighter, and shows Scrooge scenes of his past, his father being taken to jail for non-payment of debts, and his separation from his mother and his beloved sister, Fan. Then we see Scrooge at the age of 12, saving every cent he earns working in a boot factory. He writes to his sister and dreams of a place called home. This is giving the little boy from Oliver singing, Where is love? That's what that song is. But Fan dies giving birth to Fred, which is one of the reasons why Scrooge hates Fred, because he loved his sister so much and he blames Fred for her death. Rough. Which is like not Fred's fault.
No.
Maybe she should have kept her legs closed, you know? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Ooh. I'm kidding.
We're getting hot here on the Christmas. Hot chocolate. Bob Chilton is quaking.
Bob Chilton? Oh. He just got a cold chill.
So yeah. His mustache shivered.
Exactly. Scrooge is reminded about how much fun he used to have at Fezziwig's annual Christmas ball, and he realizes that an employer can make his workers happy. The festivities continue, and he sees, he's like, wow, I had such a good time. And this is where we meet the love of his life, Emily. He proposes to her at this party.
Mm-hmm.
Young Scrooge and Marley go into business together, and they become super ruthless. They really enter their Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg era here.
Mm-hmm.
They turn on their former benefactor, Mr. Fezziwig, and demand that he repay a debt to them. Later, Emily breaks off the engagement and returns her engagement ring, which is gold. She's like, you'll probably value that more than you do me, bitch. Cold, but honestly, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Scrooge is like desperate to end these visions because now he's like, oh, I fucked up. Oh, these are the consequences of my actions. And he like chases the ghost of Christmas past away and is left sad and alone. The clock strikes two and Scrooge is visited by the ghost of Christmas present. The ghost presents Scrooge with a lavish array of Christmas treats, which all come to life and dance. Next, the ghost whisks Scrooge to Bob Cratchit's house, where the family enjoys a Christmas together. And then we're whisked to Fred's house, where everyone is toasting to Scrooge despite his absence, which that would make me feel like shit. If I turned down if I got invited to something and I was like, no, I'm not going.
Yeah.
And then someone like FaceTimed me like covertly and it was everyone being like, to Kat, like, she's such a great person. Hopefully someday she'll come to this party. Like, we think she's great. I would feel like real shit. Real shit.
But I also would be like, okay, this is a lesson to me.
Okay, you know what?
You know what?
I learned this.
They're right. They're right.
I am great. I am a good friend.
I'm amazing.
I'm great.
I'm actually awesome. I'm the best person that's ever lived.
It heals all your trauma. It actually reverses it and makes you a narcissist.
It makes me a sociopath.
It goes so far that it makes you a sociopath. London celebrates friendship and family and Christmas and blah blah blah, you know, all that good stuff. The ghost shows Scrooge how fragile Tiny Tim is, and then he reveals two more children in a desperate state of need. They are Ignorance and Want. When asked if Tiny Tim will live, Scrooge is told that if these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die. And Scrooge is like begging, crying, pleading on his knees, like, what can I do to change this? What can I do to make this better? Don't kill the boy. Not the boy.
Bury the boy. Bury the boy.
The clock strikes three, and he is whisked to a graveyard by the ominous ghost of Christmas yet to be. The grave diggers dig a little grave, and Scrooge doesn't know who's died. It's, you know, this is really a show about grave diggers. If we're really honest with ourselves,
it digging starts up them with holes, them. Am I right?
Yeah. Dig it up. Oh, dig it. That's the song. They're doing like a little hip-hop number in like Victorian era London.
I love it.
Scrooge doesn't know who has died. He's like, whose grave are they digging? A corpse gets unceremoniously dumped from its little like stretcher while the undertaker stripped the body of its clothes and bedclothes, and that's where Scrooge sees the Cratchit family grieving over the grave of Tiny Tim, And then finally, he sees his own name on a tombstone and understands that he will die alone and unmourned.
Which, and he vows to... Damn.
Also, like, duh.
Yeah, duh.
Duh. Who is gonna fucking mourn you when you actively push people away and when you treat everyone like shit?
Yeah.
No one is gonna mourn you.
No.
Maybe you should have thought about that before you refused to give that guy a week to pay his mortgage. His wife just died.
His wife just died. He told
his
her.
His wife just died. He told died. You. He was like, look, man, I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't lie. Yes, my wife died last Christmas too, but this time it's for real.
This time it's real, I swear.
Scrooge vows to change his ways, and he has a miraculous vision of children singing like angels, but his joy is interrupted by the ghost, who tries to wrap him in a shroud and wrestle him into his own grave. And this is where the audience remembers that this is a spooky little ghost story, not just a happy little Christmas story.
Yes, it's very scary, actually.
Very spooky. I mean, the consequences of my actions, horrifying.
Horrifying.
There's nothing scarier than the consequences of actions, you know?
No.
Nothing scarier. Suddenly it's Christmas morning and Scrooge wakes up wrestling with his own bed sheets. It was all a dream.
He had a wet
thrilled
dream.
Yes. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That's it goes that way. That yep. direction.
He woke up covered in something.
Covered
sticky.
In something wet and sticky and milky looking.
His sheet was rock hard.
Yeah.
It was just laying flat above his body.
Just like so stiff.
So stiff. We jest.
We're kidding. We're being silly. It's a little Christmas
goose. We're little silly geese.
He's thrilled to realize that he hasn't missed Christmas. He gives a young boy money to buy the biggest turkey he can find. Dancing through the streets of London, Scrooge is like singing and he's giving out money to charity. He totally forgives the guy with the dead wife's debt. He's like, ugh. Don't even worry about it.
I'm waiting for someone to
yeah,
look
me
at
too.
Me like that.
Me too. He gives money, he helps people, and he amazes the lamplighter, the sandwich board guy, and the blind old hag with his they're shocked by his generosity.
Old hag.
He then goes
played
out
by
into
Linda
the...
Etter.
Yes. she doesn't really do anything to look shocked except just the smallest like lift of her eyebrow.
And she's in a pantsuit.
Yes. She's in a pantsuit. She looks like just Linda Etter, but they just refer to her as the blind old hag.
I'm obsessed with that.
That's the way that it should be done.
That is.
Just like come in, wear whatever you want on stage, and we just have to refer to you as the character you're playing.
Wait, that's a great idea for like a show for like an event.
Like do Sweeney Todd, but Sweeney is played by like a village twink who loves to wear like athletic tank tops and like short shorts. You know?
Yes.
I think that would be great. I'd love to see that.
I love that. Mrs. Lovett could literally be any style and it would work.
Truly.
Truly.
Because you can be crazy and dress any way you want.
Yeah.
Scrooge, after giving all sorts of money to, you know, the people of London, he then goes out into the audience and gives candy and treats to the audience.
Oh.
Slay. We love that. Hope we've got that candy budget, guys.
Yeah.
For Madison Square Garden.
It's Jeez. Only to the front row. The Nepo yeah. babies in the front row.
Exactly, exactly. The, like, premium seats. They're $1,000 a pop.
And you get,
like,
get
one... One dum-dum mystery flavor.
No, they only give out juicy fruit.
Oh,
gross. Yeah, gross.
Oh, like old women at church. Yes. With like, oh, gross.
My father loves juicy fruit.
Daryl would love juicy fruit.
Do you remember that chewing gum that like had zebras on it and you could like put tattoos on your tongue?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That was the end of the story.
Love. We don't have fun gum anymore, you know?
No, we don't.
We don't. So Scrooge delivers the giant turkey to the Cratchits and promises to raise Bob's salary to help the family, carrying Tiny Tim on his shoulders, which is like, if my boss showed up, even if my boss was like, I'm going to quadruple your salary.
Yeah.
To help out you poors. I would not let this aging man pick up my, among many people, fragile child. Everyone has agreed. The consensus is that this is a fragile little boy.
Child.
Like, his bones are made out of glass and his skin is made out of paper.
That is who he is.
He can break at any moment.
He's Donna Murphy in Passion.
Yes. Oh. Yes. I would not let an old man pick up my child like that. I just wouldn't.
No.
That seems insane to me. So then Scrooge...
Also a man who, like, is obviously having a manic episode.
Yeah. I would be like, children, go inside.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the... Ebenezer, thank you for the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go... You seem a little tired. Why don't you go... Take a nap.
First, we will print up a contract together about that raise we talked about.
Yes,
will
you know what? I'm going to get that in writing.
Really
going
to get that in writing. Then, get your signature.
Put you straight to bed, buddy.
Hosh you, hosh you, hosh you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Carrying Tiny Tim on his shoulders, Scrooge then goes to his nephew's house, hoping to be allowed to come to dinner. And then... With Tiny Tim. I guess Tiny Tim's part of the family now. I guess. And of course, Fred and his wife, Sally, are like, oh, welcome home. We're so happy to have you, Uncle Scrooge. And then it starts to snow as everyone sings and they all build a giant snowman. Tiny Tim calls out, God bless us, everyone. The musical ends with the song God Bless Us Everyone, and that's the show. It's a Christmas carol. What did you expect?
What did you expect?
It's, you know, Elon Musk, if Elon Musk had a tragic childhood, has a manic episode, and then gives all of his money away, which is maybe what should happen.
Maybe.
I would... Look,
the ghost of Christmas past maybe needs to go knock on his door.
All I'm saying is I can think of a couple of people who I think these ghosts should visit.
Yeah.
And they haven't for some reason. I'm like, what are you like? Did you do your farewell tour already? Was this it? Like,
yeah.
Go tell, you know, Elon Musk to or Jeff Bezos to. Cough up the money. Or pay your taxes, at least. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, I love a good Christmas carol. I mean, I especially love it when it's a, like, community theater. Scrooge is being played by, like, the town dentist kind of a thing.
I was thinking the dentist, too.
Ugh. Same wavelength.
Same waves.
Yeah, I love seeing shit like that. And I think that this is a great show for that.
Yeah.
Oh, so my God. Good. Get a little high. Go see a Christmas carol.
Baby.
Fa la 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 la.
Fa la 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 la. Love it.
Oh, my God. We haven't talked about Saltburn. Broad departure.
Yeah.
Broad departure, listeners. We saw Saltburn this week.
yesterday, 2 days ago?
2 days ago? I think it was 2 days ago. Life changing. I'm different now.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. It was so good.
Yes.
I loved it.
I loved it, and I cannot wait to see it again.
Yeah, no, I really want to go see it again. I really want to, like, I want to be able to, like, sit and, like, know what's happening so then I can watch him differently. Which, also, spoiler alert, friends, please skip over this.
Yeah, skip over this.
You don't want to know anything going in.
No, this is something you want to know blind. But if you have seen Saltburn and you want to be part of the conversation, listen. But if you haven't, pause this, go see it, come back in 2 hours, okay?
Yes.
He is so good. I know a movie is going to be good when that man is playing the freakiest little person you've ever seen in your life. Like, he's going to be weird. It's going to be upsetting. Yeah. And he's going to do an amazing job.
Yes. He's such a good actor.
He's such a good actor. And I was thinking, as I was watching the, like, final dance moment, I was thinking, A, wow, that man's hung.
Mm-hmm.
B, if I don't think that we should do this. This is not me advocating for a remake. But if we were to remake American Psycho, that's my Patrick Bateman. Yeah. I will not accept anyone else.
I totally, totally agree.
I won't accept anyone else. He is the only person that can do it, in my opinion.
Yep.
It was so good. It was so good. And I talked to a customer about it at work. And like one of my coworkers was like, oh, I haven't seen it yet. And we were like, oh, turn around. And we were both like, the bathtub?
Yeah.
The grave?
The grave.
The nightgown scene? And I was like, I'm dead.
Us sitting there with the nightgown scene when it was happening and us being like, no way.
No, 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 no. Yes.
And then the grave, too. Like, what?
Like, there was a collective thud, I think, of everyone in the movie theater's jaws, like, dropping to the floor when he pulled out and just stuck it in the dirt. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
And I loved it. I loved it. Everyone should go see it.
It was awesome.
Ugh. And it's coming. It's going to be streaming on Amazon Prime starting December 22nd, just in time for Christmas. A little Christmas movie. So that makes this a Christmas movie.
A nice little, watch it with the fam.
Watch it with your parents. Watch it with your grandparents.
Yes, they'd love.
It's something for the whole family.
Yeah, just really it'll bring the family together for sure.
Definitely. But you do want to go in blind, so don't know anything about it.
No.
And then watch it with your entire extended family.
Yes.
Bring your kids in. Bring the dog in. Let's watch it together.
Yeah. I think they'd all love it. Yeah.
I think so, too.
Be really a wonderful experience for the whole family.
Yeah. Heartwarming.
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 Yeah, well, in a grave?
Well, anyway.
Anyway. A Christmas Carol. It's a Christmas Carol, you know? It's not like there's a million things to say. I do like this version of the show. I think it's pretty solid.
I think it's very solid. It feels very, like, musically one note to me. It's all, like, holly jolly Christmas, holly jolly Christmas, holly jolly Christmas, holly jolly, you know? Yeah. Everything is. Which, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's what the show is.
Yeah.
But walking down the street and listening to this, it felt like listening to the Broadway cast recording of Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Alan Menken.
Exactly. It's because Alan Menken has, like, such a, like, I think of it as, like, Disney sound, but it's because Alan Menken has become the Disney sound.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I think for lovers of the Disney sound, you're going to love this shit.
Yeah.
You're going to want to pump it right into your veins. And you know what? Maybe I'll find the movie on streaming or something and I'll watch it and I can mm-hmm. come back and be like, no, it does hold up. It is fun. It is good. Mm-hmm. Cause that cast is stacked. Yeah.
I think that one thing that Alan Menken does really well, which is showcased very thoroughly through the show,
mm-hmm.
Is his musical storytelling.
Yeah. He is very good. He
really like paints a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is exactly why he's perfect for the Disney universe.
Exactly.
But he does it really, really well.
It's very easy to, like, know what's happening within the greater story, but also know how the character that you're getting its perspective from, how they feel about it.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult thing to do. But he kills it.
Yeah, nails it.
Nails it. Cool. Do we want to dreamcast?
Let's do it. So who did you dreamcast?
Okay, I did a lot.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I did a lot only because as I was listening, I was like, oh, I would want to see this.
Yeah. Well, there's endless.
Yeah, there's so many characters. And I was like, if we were bringing it back, MSG,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2023, who is in it?
Yeah.
This is who I would want.
Yeah.
So I did Scrooge, Mr. and Mrs. Cratchit, Fred, the Three Ghosts,
mm-hmm.
Marley, and that's it.
Okay. Oh, that's not a lot.
Maybe it just feels like a lot because it's like Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present. Great. So who do we want to start with? The lead himself? Yeah.
Mr. Scrooge.
So for Ebenezer Scrooge, this was easy. I did this within the first like three songs. I knew exactly who I wanted it to be. And that's Mr. Nathan Lane. I want to see Nathan Lane as Ebenezer Scrooge. I think it's a role he was born to play.
Yeah.
Especially now that he's like older. I'm like, perfect time to like really go full Scrooge.
Yeah. Know? Yes, I do know. And I totally agree. I said Jeffrey Rush.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
It's Michael Caine, but different.
Yes. Which, speaking of, I watched the Muppets Christmas movie for the first time, or Christmas Carol for the first time in my life yesterday.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Well, and Michael Caine is such an interesting Scrooge. That's such an interesting version. Because he is playing it straight. He is not playing it. He's doing it like this is Royal Shakespeare Company's production of A Christmas Carol.
And it works so well against the Muppets. It works
perfectly. And I'm like, that's the way that it should be done.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that I think something that Nathan Lane and Jeffrey Rush, like on the Venn diagram of why they work as Scrooges, is because they both can play such honesty while still being able to live in like a musical theater-y cartoon world.
Exactly. Something they're able to be grounded in a world that is not grounded.
Yes, yes.
And I think that is important because you want your Scrooge to have moments of humor, but he can't be like funny, you know?
Right. Which is why Jim Carrey was also a very good Scrooge.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, Scrooge is really just King Lear, but at Christmas, you know?
Yes. I literally was thinking that today.
We are just like same fucking page in the we same really on it. Book. Same sentence at same this point. Same
sentence. Honestly, really. Here
Honestly.
We are. Honestly.
So for Mr. and Mrs. Cratchit, I cast Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker.
I love it. I love it.
It'd be so fun. They deserve to be on stage together and have a little fun, you know?
Yes, I totally agree. Karen Walker and Jack McFarlane.
Absolutely. With Jeffrey Rush as Ebenezer Scrooge. Love. Obsessed.
Yeah.
I've got my tickets.
Actually, you know what? It could be It actually could be Eric McCormick and Deborah Messing.
Really could go either way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay. So the cast of Will and Grace.
Yeah, the cast of Will and Grace, they switch nights.
Yep.
And they like pair up differently each night. Like one night it's Karen and Will. One night it's Grace and Jack.
Well, and I think like it would be so funny watching, I thinking of these characters played as if we're in the Muppets universe. So Karen playing, maybe Karen is Bob Cratchit and Jack is Mrs. Piggy.
Although Karen really is a Scrooge, if we're honest.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Karen Walker as Scrooge.
Yep. Icon.
I'm sad.
That would be hilarious, like a Will and Grace Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do something like that.
Me either.
That seems like obvious to me now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, I guess we'll have to do it.
Twist my arm.
Twist my arm.
For Fred, my first thought was Joshua Henry. He's so joyful. He's so boisterous.
Sure.
But I also would like to see, and I couldn't remember his name, and I did not look it up because I couldn't be bothered to, the guy that we saw as Fabrizio in Line
of
Piazza. That's
so funny. I thought of him today.
I hope he's doing well.
Me too.
He was great. He was so good.
He was
good.
Great.
I agree with them for that. Fred.
Yeah. Drew.
Although that is Andy Carl's role.
Yeah.
Andy Carl is Fred.
Yeah. I think his name was like Drew Giuseppe or like something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
It's not Giuseppe.
Giuseppe Zangara?
Yes. No. Anyway,
who's your Fred?
My Fred, is Josh Gad, like a young Josh Gad.
Aww.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it'd be so sweet.
I love that. Oh, young Josh Gad. I don't think about Josh Gad enough. I think he's so good.
Well, he like rose to stardom so fast that it feels like he had his career already, but he hasn't.
He's still so young. Yeah.
Olaf will do that
to you, you know?
Olaf will do it. I mean, I think getting a Disney
Book
movie.
Book of Mormon and then Disney. And
Wish apparently is not good.
Well, I'm not surprised based on the, like, one song I heard from it.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that is crazy, actually, speaking of, like, Alan Menken, the Disney sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, going from songs, like, Hellfire, like villain songs.
Yeah.
Hellfire, Poor Unfortunate Souls, even Mother Knows Best. Like, these are all incredible villain songs that are fun to listen to. Like, as a kid, you enjoy listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also manipulative and, like, you know what they're doing, but you're, like, still along for the ride because it's so fun.
Right.
The song with Wish, I was like, this isn't fun for me.
I don't think
I've
heard it.
This is tedious. It's tedious.
Oh.
There are, like, lyrics of, like, I let you stay with me. I let you live here for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I let you live here for free, and I don't let you, and I don't make you pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same thing. That's saying the same thing twice.
Yeah, like what?
Like it's just very much giving for me. Acted nice when she not nice.
Ugh.
And if you treat me bad, I'll say you're bad.
Yeah, and
which I like.
Imagine a party with cookies,
with
and
dresses
cake.
And cake,
with dresses
and singing and
dancing,
and singing and dancing
and
cake,
and cake,
and like
what
are we doing? So it's just not something I'm super interested in. It's not something I'm super excited by. So I probably won't be seeing Wish.
Yeah.
I'll just go see Saltburn again.
Yeah.
For the ghost of Christmas. So for my ghosts, I really wanted a girl power moment.
Work.
all of the ghosts, I was like, these need to be women. Mm-hmm. These need to be ladies. So for Ghost of Christmas Past, I cast Bonnie Milligan.
Yes.
Because I'm like joyful, boisterous. Like, it'll mm-hmm. be fun. She'll have a good time.
Yep.
Do you want me to do all three and then you do all three?
Sure.
Great. For the Ghost of Christmas Present, I cast Keala Settle.
Ooh.
A little Bonnie Milligan, a little Keala Settle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then for the Ghost of Christmas Future, I cast Angela Lansbury. Because why not?
That was a hard turn.
It's like fierce, fierce Lansbury. And that's
gentle,
what I want it to be.
Nurturing power.
That's what I want it to be. I want you to be like, I want you to forget. It's like, oh, we're having so much fun with these two ladies. And then I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. You know?
I'm not. Sir, do you not see your gravestone? I'm not mad. I'm only disappointed.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. That's the vibe I want for my Ghost of Christmas Future. How about you?
So I said it's got to be the, I just went really TV shows this time.
I love.
But I went the cast of Schitt's Creek, so.
Okay.
You've got Alexis as Ghost of mm-hmm. Christmas Past.
Sure.
And then you have the Ghost of Christmas Present is, Eugene Levy. And then yes. you have Moira as the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Be.
Ebenezer.
And she's all in black.
Ebenezer. Look at your gravestone. You should feel ashamed. That boy is dead.
That boy is dead.
Love that. And where is Dan Levy in this?
Dan Levy, maybe it's Ghost of Christmas Past can be both Dan Love. Levy and
it should be played by two people. I think yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sly. Love that. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Jacob Marley, the ghost with the most. And for this, my first thought was Gary Beach, because I think he would be great. And then I was like, I really think I'd like to see Roger Bart do something like this. Because Jacob Marley is camp. Jacob Marley is fun. He's funny. Mm-hmm. He's also, like, shady in a way yes. that I think Roger Bart is very good at being.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He is very, like... I'm a sneaky little villain.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
You can put, like, a Fred Applegate in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, a Kevin Chamberlain.
Oh, very good. We love a Kevin Chamberlain.
We love a Fred Applegate.
We love a Fred Applegate. This could also be, like, a Marin Maisie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a Marin Maisie or...
A Beth Level.
Yes. This is a Beth Level role.
Yep.
100%. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to see an all-women production of A Christmas Carol.
I really do, too.
Do it, you cowards. Make it a statement on how women make less money than men.
Yeah.
You could. I'm not going to do it. That's a lot of work for me, and I don't have the time, but someone should do it.
And I don't have the time.
We don't have the time.
Oh, my God. Love that.
Oh, Slight. Well, that's A Christmas Carol. This is a short little, sweet little episode.
Ooh, Christmas.
It's a brisk one, getting you into Merry the holiday Chrysler. Season. Merry Chrysler. Happy birthday to me.
Yes. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me. We will be back in 2 weeks with our final episode of 2023, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And we are going to be doing Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Louis. Clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Bang, ding, ding with the bus. Speaking of Karen Walker.
I know.
I think about that anytime I think about Meet Me in St. Louis. Me too.
I think about that clip all the time. Zing, zing, zing. So good.
Oh, incredible. Amazing. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. We hope you have an amazing holiday, whatever it is that you celebrate. We hope it's a good one. I hope you're all celebrating my birthday because that's the most important holiday this season. And then we'll just catch you all later.
Mm-hmm. Well, goodbye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to This Podcast Won't Run a Week. If you'd like to support us, be sure to rate, review, follow, like, and subscribe wherever you listen. If you're interested in additional very cool content, you can head over to patreon.com/thispodcastwon'trunaweek. You can check out all of our social media information as well as performance links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening. We love you lots. Goodbye.